situation is, you know, Indonesia has a lot of culture. You know, it's very multicultural. With languages, they have about 700 plus languages. And so it has a lot of tribal groups, you know. And so we celebrate each culture, and then we see the good values they have. We see the good values, we celebrate that, and then we see the good values they have, and we parallel it with the biblical values. That's what we do. And so, in that way, it's not very harsh for the Muslims. It's not very direct, you know, but it's one way for us to capture their attention, and probably, if I can use it, to bother their attention. You know what bother is? I mean, what bother is? You bother them. What's the other word for bother?
Disturb.
You confuse them. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Disturb.
You disturb them, right? Yeah. You disturb them about values. And then they start to think about values. Then they start to think and they start to seek something about those values. And so from those, of course, I don't tell them that we are here to disturb you. Okay, we don't tell them, but we just do it for them to be disturbed about their thinking about different values. And from there, you know, some people, the good thing is, some of the Muslims, they will ask questions directly to me or to the other leaders. And from there, from that asking question, we could start talking about our values, deeper about the biblical values. Understand what I'm saying? So it's about those things, the cultural celebration. Then we have cross university students. Have you seen the cafe thing in the movie? So we do, it's not a functional or the usual cafe. We don't have that. If we do cafe, it could be expensive for the university students. So we don't do that. But we have at least once every 3 months, we do the acoustic thing. The acoustic night actually is just a celebration of music and a celebration of friendship. So that's when we invite people, we announce it to the university, we invite them to come, we have people like a live band, but mostly acoustic. Okay, not the complete band, not the complete music band. And from there, we connect with people. We talk with them, we establish relationship with them. That's how we get hooked. Young people. Of course, you know that one. We've been there. Are you still there? And then we have coffee, we have tea, we have different kinds of drinks, but we have to pay for it. So it's a dollar. So during acoustic night, it becomes a real cafe. Okay, so who are those playing in the acoustic music? It's the students, actually, those leaders. And who are cooking? It's the students themselves. So we are actually training them for management also, for a certain cafe, and they're enjoying it. These students are enjoying it. They're the one actually will lead them, the management, how to become waiters and how to manage the money and all that. So I play the barista. So I'm not part of the music, but I'm the barista in this acoustic night. Did I give something else? Okay, so from here, you know, we're more of not too direct, presentation of the gospel. It's more of incorporating the gospel presentation right here. And from here, we invite people for intentional discipleship. I put intentional discipleship because the whole thing is discipleship. Okay, this is part of discipleship. Before we got used to differentiate evangelism and the discipleship. Am I right? That's basically academically. That's what we know. You share the gospel and then you disciple. Is that the same thing with you in your generation? Is that what you know or not?
Again, sorry, evangelism.
Evangelism. The things that we know is that you evangelize first and then we disciple. Right?
Yes.
That's the usual. That's the conventional. But actually, the whole process is discipleship. The whole process is discipleship. Okay? We just separate the word discipleship after evangelism. But actually, discipleship starts from the very beginning when you meet the person. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just think about what Jesus did, which actually we will talk about later. Okay, it starts from the beginning. It's the whole process of discipleship. What is discipleship? Training people to become like Jesus, to become followers of Jesus Christ. So it starts from here. This is actually the ECG, the Open English Discussion, the Leadership Forum, the Cultural Celebration, the Acoustic Night are all part of discipling, introducing them to Jesus. Okay, making them followers of Jesus Christ. This could be the initial step. And then the intentional discipleship, this is the time that we open the Bible. And then we discuss about the Bible and how is it relevant to their personal lives as students. And then number three, I think what we have seen in the video is our the community service. We teach them to serve, okay, outside the student center. We bring them to the orphanage, for them to teach basically English, but actually it's impacting a lot those orphans. Someday, I was telling them, I always tell them this, that someday when those orphans grow up, they will come to you and will say thank you. Not just for teaching English, but for spending time with them, giving time to them. That's actually a big impact. Because somebody in their lives gain time, spend time for them. So it's not just about teaching English, but they can really feel the love that comes from God through that particular community service. And then we bring them, like what I said, to the some UPG area near our town, you know, those Muslim groups, for them to have the experience of serving the poor people. Okay, so that's basically the strategy we are doing. These are the pattern or the stages of our discipleship. Okay.
What does
the
ECG stand for?
ECG stands for electrocardiogram. English conversation group. Yeah. We don't want to make it formal. We don't want to call it English tutorials because it's so formal and we don't do that. We're not formal school. So we're teaching them more to have a good conversation trust in English. Yeah. So aside from here, actually, aside from these dynamics, what's going on here, especially with some of the leaders, I would bring them outside for coffee, for tea, to talk more about their experiences. So to process what their experiences. I usually bring one or two person. It takes a lot of time, you know, to spend with them. But I'm training leaders. We have student leaders who are more focused on the other students. So me, I focus on the leaders, and then the student leaders are the one focusing on the other students. So in that way, I am multiplying myself to the leaders. And then the leaders are multiplying themselves to the other students. All right? Any question about that? I just want to show you one of the areas we are doing. Any question?
What are the challenges in this?
The challenges One is university students, they graduate after a while. So I have to train leaders every now and then. It's like almost every year, I have new leaders. Because when the time they reach their senior year, they have to focus in their thesis. So I told them their priority is their study. So that's where God called them, the university. So they focus on their study. So I have to train new leaders. The second one, university students has a lot of activities. So sometimes you see them today, you won't see them next week. That's actually a big challenge for me, at least in the Indonesia context. They're so eager to come on the first few days, first few weeks, after a while, because of the nature of their life, their activities, sometimes, where's this guy? Oh, he's doing a lot of work in the school and all that, which you have to understand. It's a challenge because you want to have a continuous connection, a continuous discipleship with them. I forgot the sports means. This is happening like every Monday night. We have futsal. You know the word futsal? It's like an indoor football. So we have, I'm not doing that. I'm not into futsal. We have an Argentinian guy helping us. So he's a big blessing to me because he's a licensed coach in football. And he's from Argentina. I mean, when we talk about soccer, and we talk about Argentina. I'm very blessed for the they were here in APTS for 1 year. When was that? 2015, the whole year of 2015. They just came to study English, not theology. They came to study English, but after a year, they went to Indonesia to study the language of Indonesia. So it's very very challenging for them. Now they went back to Indonesia now after. After 1 year of language study, they went home to raise funds for our ministry because we're starting a branch to another city with this ministry. Any more question? You could criticize. I want to hear if there's criticism.
Is that everything is
healthy? The ECG we have to pay very little. The ECG, they have to pay 20,000 rupiah per month. 20,000 rupiah is very close to $2 per month. Can you imagine?
$2
for the English conversation. We're telling them actually it's only the major. It's not. But at least you want to create dignity for them. And you want them to own it, you know, for them to be responsible. Otherwise, they will come if they want to come, if they don't pay. The sports ministry, they pay for the, because we're renting an arena. So it's not for free. You need a place to do that. So they contribute for the payment. Acoustic night, they pay for the food. If they order coffee, they have to pay for it. Of course, the price is for the student level. Cultural celebration. That's a good word. Cultural celebration. Yeah, because it's just celebration. We have some snacks, but usually the money we get for the cultural celebration is from the acoustic night. Yeah. Leadership forum. They pay actually not through our ministry, but through the student council, because the student council will give some. They use the registration fee for certificates and also for snacks. So it's actually it's a win-win thing. Open English discussion, it's all for free, of course. It's all for free. One more?
Can we have PowerPoint?
You can have the PowerPoint for sure. Yeah. You wanna put it here? Yeah, I'm gonna put it here. Good, good. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, so you remember a while ago the different characteristics of mission strategy. One is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
One is biblical. God's work must be done in God's way. It should be efficient. We have to use our resources to best maximize results. Now, I was talking about, before I started the student ministry, we need a place. We thought we need a place to gather the students. But I don't want a place that is bare and that does not attract the students. What's happening now for the young professionals and students? What do they want? They want something. If they want to go to cafe, where do they go? If you guys want to go for coffee, where do you go? A cafe that is cool, a good ambience, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why many people, that's why Starbucks is a very good missionary, actually, right? They're a very good missionary. They know how to attract people. Yeah. Some people in the Philippines used to not to drink coffee. But when Starbucks came, they started to drink coffee. For the experience. For the experience. Am I right? That's what happened. Even the student, university students. I don't drink coffee when I was in university. I drink Coke. I usually drink Coke 1 liter a day. Just for me to study. I remember that time. I became an addict to Coca-Cola. Anyway. So we have to be efficient, like those things. So what happened, we rented a place, and I designed the place to look like a cafe, a very cool cafe. I hope you can hear from Buena. A while ago, maybe 1 o'clock in our time, Philippines time, they were there in the student center, APTS group. Two from Philippines, one from Myanmar, one from Bhutan, one from American Samoa, one from Indonesia. So they were there to check the ministry. It should be relevant. What do you think? Help me. Are these things relevant to the university students? The ECG, that I will tell that because I don't want this in Indonesia, many of them don't speak English just like you guys. So they want to learn. So they go to the ECG. And ECG, actually, at some point, these one are quite small groups. Quite small. We only have like 5 life groups with average of 4 or 5 students. So it's quite small, man. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on your perspective. This ECG would be the life group itself. Why? Because we're using English, we're teaching grammars and English structures, but we are incorporating biblical values from here. You know what I mean? You getting it? So that could be a life group as well. Yeah? So it depends on your perspective. We need to have paradigm shift if we want to be a part of this one. Are these relevant? It is relevant. If you talk something that is very much related to their lives, okay? Social media, interpersonal relationship, those are very, very much related to who they are. Cultural celebration. What do you think? Is that relevant? Okay. Sports ministry, of course.
Yeah.
Music. Music. How many of you like music? Like to just sit down and listen to music? Or you want to just play music together with your friends? Those are young people. Even old people like me. I want that. So that is where you can really get their attention. And of course, we This is the last one, which I added there. It should be Spirit-inspired vision. That means it should be coming from the Lord. It's not just from the human perspective. But we have to see that it's being guided, being inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that is a quite close to biblical aspect. Okay? Now let's talk about some factors in doing mission strategy. These are the things that affect your mission strategies. It's not there. It's not there. I have probably six slides that are not there. Okay, some factors in doing missions. One is personal calling, your giftings, your training. Okay? So, me is a factor in my own strategy. The setting organization, and I'm going to explain this later on. And then scanning or researching about the field and the target people groups. And then the combination of those three. Okay? So it is very important. These factors, personal calling, about your personality as well, your background and your history, your training and your experiences, and then your sending organization, which will affect as well, and then the field and the target people groups and the combination of those three. Okay, one, let's talk about this. Personal calling, gifting, and training. You need to know your own culture when you go to the field. Before you do your own mission strategy, you should know who you are. Okay? You should know your own culture before you go there. Why? Why do you think you should know? Okay. You studied this, I would guess. You studied this with Ajon or Ajon-san. Why do you think you need to know your own culture before you go to another culture?
In order for you to see objectively. Their culture.
Okay.
And then you have comparison.
Okay. So that, yeah, I highly agree with that. And then you, so that you can hinder or you can prevent bias, or you call it the cultural bias. What are biases? Okay. Biases, like you're doing medical mission, you have doctors, you have pharmacists, and then you also want somebody to pray before they get the medicine. Now, how many of you know some pattern? Have you been with some medical mission? Medical ministry? Usually, yeah, free clinics, like they bring the patient to the doctors, and then they check the blood pressures and all that, and then they give medicine. But before they give medicine, they want them, this is Philippine setting, they want them to go to the counselor or the church worker so that they can be prayed for. Right? So that's the thing they do. Now, that is my experiences here, actually. I was the administrator of a certain medical team before I went to the field. So that's my bias, because in my culture, that works a lot. That works. I mean, among the Catholics also. And even the tribal people who are neither evangelical or Catholics. It works. When I go to the Muslim context, I could probably do the same thing. And that's called bias. Because I thought that thing that works in my culture, I thought that could also work in the Muslim culture. Okay? So we call it bias. Okay? What else? How do we explain your bias? Can you tell me anything about what you know about biases?
you're becoming more subjective.
Yeah, becoming more subjective. Like you're doing the way you do it in your own culture. Yeah, and you thought that's the best thing to do for the other culture also. So you call it bias. Although we cannot do 100%, we cannot remove that. Okay, we cannot remove that. In some point or another, you will still have the bias. But, okay, B-U-T, you want to prevent, you want to lessen the biases when you go to the field. And that is very important. That's why you have to know your own culture. Before you do the mission, before you implement mission strategy, is that only works for me? Does it work for the people also that I'm targeting with? You have to ask that question. Your experiences in your culture, your own theology. Your own theology. You have to understand your theology. It may probably be deeper in the culture that you are ministering with. Okay? Many authors of missiology would say that sin, there's some sin that depends on the culture. Does it bother you? It's bothering, actually. It's bothering. What will I do? I'll give you an example. In Cambodia, there are some thieves. They steal food from the store or from somebody else so that they would give those food to the poor people. Is it a sin? We would say in our own culture, it's a sin. Because it's stealing. Stealing is stealing, we would say. Stealing is stealing. But I will not discuss more, okay? I'm just giving you something, you know, that is, for some missiologists, it may not be the same. I'm giving you one example again. In Indonesia, one part, okay, not to Indonesia. This is in the east. Okay, these two guys are brothers. Okay, these two guys, they have their own wives. All right, and for example, this is it doesn't matter who's the oldest. Okay, now their wife, one of their wives, okay, this number two couples died. I'm sorry, she died.
Okay,
don't cry. She died. Oh, sorry, I'm confusing you now. Sorry, she didn't die. The brother died. I need coffee. The brother died.
Okay.
So she's now a widow.
Yeah.
Okay. Now she has no work. She has kids. She's now a responsibility of his brother. So this man should take her as the second wife. So he has two wives. I'm not saying these are Muslims. In Muslim, it's okay. Polygamy is okay. These are not Muslims. And it's happening inside the church as well. We say, oh, that's polygamy. You are sinning. You have to repent right now. This is actually very hard. This is actually very hard. Actually, there's some, there's an article, I really forgot who's the author, but I read about this, but in another culture, which has the same scenario like this, and they don't agree to stop the people from doing so, because this might create trouble to the culture. For me, I look at the possibility how we can resolve it, and I try to just discuss and suggest, because I found out that most of the ladies in that area, it's an island, it's quite remote, and ladies, most of the time, you know, in some remote places, ladies don't have their jobs because they were not educated like you. So, because they're not educated, they just think that ladies only for houses, just to take care of the kids and all that. So, and they were not encouraged to go to school as well. So what do you do? Maybe not to ask them that this is a sin, this is a sin. What I will do is that those who are not involved yet with this kind of thing, you know, we can empower the ladies. We can empower the ladies. We can maybe not put them into high school or what, but maybe teach them something that they could have business to earn their money, to raise their own kids. In that way, they probably won't think of, oh, I'm now responsibility of my husband's brothers. Maybe this time she won't think that, because she might think, oh, I have my own job, I have my source of income, I don't need this guy. Because I found out that basically she's now a responsibility of this guy for economic sake. Because he already died, no one will take care of the family anymore. No one will feed the family anymore. You know what I mean? So it's really hard. It's a really hard case, actually. Actually, I stopped discussing that one because I'm not really involved in that place. I mean, it's not my area of ministry, but I'm trying to. It's a good, if God would allow me, it's a good place to do research. In that area for the church. My first time to go there, I talked, we were praying for the people. We were praying for the church worker. I talked to the guy, who are you? Who are you? Oh, my name's Dad. I'm an evangelist. How can I pray for you? Oh, you pray for my wife, and then she talks about another one? You are an evangelist? I didn't react like that, of course. You are an evangelist and you have two wives? What would be your reaction? It's kind of shocking, isn't it? But that's what's going on here. Not the whole island. Yeah, not the whole island. I think it's not happening with the Assemblies of God, but it's happening with other denominations.
Actually, Mr. God is so strict with that, right?
I'm not really sure if they're 100% not. I'm not really sure in that area. I don't really very much involved in that area. I go there once in a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go there once in a while, but not really involved. Okay.
It will be very hard for the missionaries to.
It is.
Because I know there is one area. It's not exactly practicing the same thing as similar, and it is a very strong culture. That the family is really forcing the lady to go to live together with the brother, mm-hmm. right? And the influence lady do not want to. The families are forcing.
That's right.
So the lady fled to the missionary.
Oh,
asking for help. Yeah.
Right.
Now, what did you do? As a missionary, it's the cultural thing.
No, that's the one I like. I mean, I don't like what's happening, but this is the one I like. When the local people come to you, it's not you who go directly and get involved. If the local people ask you to get involved, okay, now let's sit down. What is really going on? It may take a while. Like what I said, I want to do research on that. I wanna be a part of making a solution for that one. I think you cannot give a solution in one night. It takes a lot of research, it takes a lot of discussion. And it takes for you, as a missionary, it takes for you to establish your trust to the local leaders. You know what I mean? If you establish your trust. Because if people trust you, they will listen to you. Okay? They will listen to you. Because what will happen is that you gotta get your Bible. And you gotta use your Bible as your weapon. Not just your own thoughts. Okay? So it may take a while. I understand that thing. My friend who is there, who's a missionary in that place, he's not getting involved in that kind of ministry because he's focusing on the other ministry. Because this thing is probably one of the difficulties to deal with. But you should know your own theology. You might think, these people, you can judge right away. These people are sinful. I mean, you can have the tendency to be judgmental when you become a missionary. I'm not saying you will be, but there's a tendency. Because you have your own theology, you have your own perspective about sin. And yet, in another place, it may not be sin at all. That's why you really need to know. And then, once you know your theology, then probably you can help how you can deal with other people. Now, including family values and needs. I put this one. In some places, sometimes those missionaries who have kids, they will put their kids in the dormitory. Like they will do ministry in one area because that place has no school, good school for the kids. They will send their kids in a good school, the same country, but good school but has dormitory, like a boarding house school. So that means the parents, the missionary themselves, are separated from the kids. Now, I won't judge that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, depends on your values. Mm-hmm. I would still encourage for them to be together. I don't want to judge them. But I would, if in my organization, we would always let them be together. Especially kids up to high school. This is the growing up stage. You're making a good foundation about being, human. You're building character from them. I just cannot imagine, my kids away from us. We do not know how they are building up their own character. Of course, the school, that good school I was telling you, they have a very good way to build up the characters of the children. But still, it's not you who's building them. It should be the parents. Yeah. We should build them. So you should know your values. You should know your values. Do I need to send them to the boarding school? Or we'll just do homeschooling so that we'll just be together. Okay? The spouse's skills training and values on raising kids. This is very important for those who have family, those who are married. This is very important. What do you do? During our first few years, our value, my wife, even though she's professional, she decided to just stay with the kids so that she would be the one to raise our own kids. And that was until our kids were on the fifth grade, I think, fourth or fifth grade. And after that, she started to be more involved in the ministry, just like that. So it depends on the value of the family. Okay? It has to be discussed, not just one person will decide on it. It has to be discussed and it has to be advised by the organization as well. Okay, children's age and education, this is one of the biggest issues in ministry. For us, our prayer is that Lord, you let us be in that place if it is your will, because we want our kids to finish their high school in that place. Because our kids already have their own friends. It would be very hard for teenagers to transfer to another place. It would probably be easy for us. It's kind of difficult for the kids, for the teenagers. We don't want we don't want them to feel that we are just dragging them wherever we go. We want them to feel that they are also being pulled by God right there. Are we understanding each other? I like this one. What I read in Proverbs, some people ruin themselves by their own foolish actions in their day. You can interpret. Okay, number two. Okay, of course, you should know the values of the sending organization. Some organizations, they're not focusing on church planting. They're focusing only on helping the believers, so that the believers will do the church planting themselves. There's some organizations like that. So you should know the organization's values. Okay? Values about working with locals. How do you work with them? Okay? Do you see them as an employee or do you see them as a co-workers as well? Okay? You have to discuss that. You have to discuss the organizational values before you do your own strategy. Are you allowed to network with other denominations or with other organizations? Or you're building your own kingdom? Thank you for that. What I'm saying is you reacted. So you know what I'm saying. So, I'm from the Assemblies of God, and I like working with the Assemblies of God in Indonesia, but we work also with the other denomination because we are seeing that we can strengthen more the gospel presentation if we work together. Yeah. What is your working ethics? Working with the local people, like what I said, do you see them as employees or do you see them as partners in the ministry? Do you see potentials from the local people? What are your expectations? Okay. What does your organization expect you to do? Yeah, there's some organization, there's some mission organization expecting you to plant the church after 1 year. They want to see you pastoring a congregation after 1 year in a Muslim setting. That's probably takes miracles to do that. I mean, to have a congregation in a Muslim complex after 1 year. Okay? So you have to discuss that. Yeah. Before you do your own strategy. Number three, research about the field and the target people group. You have learned this about the culture, the traditions. You have to learn the material culture, the housing, the clothing. One person was laughing. Somebody just told me this story. He went to Papua. Before he went there, he doesn't know really what kind of Papua, because there are different tribal people in Papua. And he was asked to wear something neat, something very formal. He knows it's hot, but he's just following the instruction, you know, from the organization also. And when he went there, it's a church. It's a mix. There are also unbelievers right there. And the men are not wearing anything. And some ladies are topless also. And he's wearing a suit. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he removed his shirt also. But it's too formal for the congregation. Yeah. So he has to be, how do you call that? He has to be relevant also. But it doesn't mean he has to remove his shirt.
There's a continuation of that story. There's a continuation of that story.
Go ahead.
Because he go back again, and then he didn't wear anything. But when he go back, the villagers are so shy. They wear formal.
I don't know that, but I'm saying it's my friend. It happened in real life. Yeah, right. Okay, another thing, research. Don't just go to a field without seeing if there's a presence in the church. I know one organization, and I won't tell you what's the organization. They are doing good in one place. They planted their own church. Oh, they're doing very well. But they didn't know that they're also a local denomination within the area that has the same denomination like them. And that's very ironic. Yeah? If you're not making courtesy to the local people, we should acknowledge that we will be like a pentata. So we are only visitor. Yes, we are missionary, but we are only visitor in the place where we're doing the mission. So we have to be courteous. We have to give courtesy to the local people. Even though probably they're lazy in doing mission, but we still have to respect the local church. We should know the religious knowledge and cultural analogy of that, okay? And then you combine all those, you know, the word SWOT, right? And this is probably the easiest but very reliable analysis, okay? Strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. We will end here. Okay? You combine all those SWOT analysis. Your personal analysis. You should know your strength. When you do your strategy, you should know your weakness. Oh, we're going to do education. I want to do education in that place because many people don't reach high school. But who among you have the skill in setting a school? You know what I mean? I'm talking to that group. Remember that strategy you were doing? So who has the strength in educational management? What will be your weakness? Okay? Do you have enough people to start a high school? Do you have enough resources? What are the opportunities you will have? Of course, you already have the opportunities because many people don't reach high school. But what are your opportunities in there? Do you know anyone there in the Department of Education that you can link to school so you can have the permit? What are your opportunities right there? Do you have already somebody that will give money so you can build a school building? So look at those opportunities. What are your threats? People may be suspicious of you. Some government officials may not like what you are doing because you are all foreigners. All those things. So you combine your personal SWOT with the SWOT of your organization and the SWOT of your target people or your target field. Did you get that? Are you familiar with the SWOT?
Yes.
Yeah? Very good. So you combine all those three, okay? Combine the personal skills with the team available, or potential skills of the local, to the need of the target people group. So you will come out with very, very good strategy that will pave the way for the gospel presentation, that will pave the way for many people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our goal. We want to see people being impacted by the gospel. We want to see many people who will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that their lives will be transformed by Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
One or two questions? Okay. More about what I would like to see, okay? I would like to see what are the different questions you want to add in your own in the situational analysis, the one I gave you on the first day. Mm-hmm. I would like to see if there are other information you want to see there. And then if you see something that you have to modify in the strategies that you already have done. Okay? So we will see that tomorrow. Please, I hope you can have time to do that maybe individually or as a group, but please find time to put some more information that you needed in order for you to come out with a very good strategy. Okay? So this group and this group. You can put a name, so it will be easier for us to talk about it. You can put the name of that country. I mean, it doesn't matter whatever country it is. You can put mini country or what. But whatever. What I'm saying is, so we can put a name, so when we discuss it tomorrow, it will be easier. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to serve you. The opportunity, Lord, to be a part of what you're doing on earth, so that many people will be reconciled back to you, so their lives will be transformed. Lord, here we are. We want to offer our lives to you. We want to ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just guide us in doing this, that we'll be efficient, relevant, Spirit-led or Spirit-inspired strategies for the mission. Help us, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good night. So I'm going to put the slide here.
German pastor.
In the past, actually, MEI is 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks.
That's only morning session, right?
Morning session.
But now it's only 2 weeks.
Yeah, so then so we're squeezing everything.
Yeah.
Missionary methods. The second one is I reach people to challenge. And then the third one are samples or examples of people.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, sure. From this moment, we have tomorrow.
Alan, you're told that you're going to sing.
I'm going to sing.
Which song?
Pengyou. So you know Pengyou?
Wow. Wow. You're from China?
She can sing
last night is quite cold, but we think it's because of food.
Okay, adjusting. I think I'm readjusting to my own. That's normal. It's just takes a time. Even with water, even though it's clean water, but there are different bacteria in every country.
Mm.
So sometimes even you drink clean water, drinking water, you may still have some problem with your stomach because bacteria, they don't recognize each other. I think that's actually true. Yeah. So they have different bacteria. Yeah.
Thank you. I feel not okay right now, so I go home. Okay, I'll be tomorrow.